I want to do a little Bible study with you tonight, preach a little bit, study the Bible a little bit on these two verses that we read. I mean, you read them, and it's like many of the verses in Isaiah. Some of the verses there are familiar, like Isaiah 118 and some of the verses in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 118 was in our Sunday school lesson this morning, and of course we've visited Isaiah 53 that talks about Jesus many times. But some of the other verses that are in the book of Isaiah, you got to work a little bit to understand what God's saying. But as you work, there's some wonderful messages that are there. Now, when Isaiah wrote this part of his book, the northern kingdom had already gone into captivity. The 10 tribes had already fallen to Assyria. And God was dealing with the nation of Judah, the two tribes of the south. They were being threatened by the Babylonians, and Isaiah was delivering God's message that God's people, needed to turn back to him. They had forsaken God. They had begun to worship false idols, and the message was coming through that punishment was coming. In fact, you don't need to turn back to it, but in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14, but here's what the Bible says: "But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forsaken me." But Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forsaken me." You see, when we sin and turn away from God, and then God turns away from us as punishment, what do we do? What did these people do? They blame God. They had sinned and turned away from God, and God had turned away from them, and then they said, "Well, Lord, you've forsaken me. You've forgotten me." And so Isaiah was sent by God with a message to his people. And I want you to notice, you don't need to open your Bibles, but if you still got them open, look there at verse 10. It says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant?" Isaiah was questioning the people. He said, "Look, is there any still among you that fear the Lord? Is there any still among you that will obey his servant, obey me?" What Isaiah was saying, because I'm instructing you, I'm encouraging you, I'm rebuking you to turn back to God, to forget these false gods, to forget these pagan practices that you've gotten caught up in, and turn back to the true and living God. Now, in answer to that question that Isaiah asked, every single one of us ought to say, "Yep, I fear the Lord." Not from a being afraid standpoint, but from holding God in awe. I mean, when we consider that the one that created this universe loves us, when we consider the one that put the stars in their place and knows them all by name cares for us, when we consider that the one that made everything that is about us. I mean, we enjoyed it today because the sun was shining. And I went for a little walk when I got home, and some of the birds were still there, and they were singing. And the last leaves were falling out of the trees, and I got to thinking, just like David did. Man, the God who made all this loves me. The God who made all this cares about what's going on in my life. The God who made all this is concerned about what I'm thinking about and some of the heartaches that I have. David said it like this: "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visiteth him." We ought to fear God. We ought to hold God in awe. We also ought to do what that second phrase says: "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant?" We ought to obey. We ought to obey God. The commandments that he gives us in this book, the teachings that he gives us, that we hear in our Sunday school lessons and in the sermons that are preached, the messages that we read, we ought to just come to the point in our life where we say, "I'm just going to obey God." So we talked about this morning in the adult Sunday school lesson. Obedience is a way to have that relationship with God. And I said it in the open assembly. I thought about it more this afternoon. Don't just stop with getting saved. I mean, getting saved is wonderful. Getting saved is what everybody ought to do. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, before you leave this place, you ought to trust Jesus and ask Him to be your Savior. But don't just stop with being saved. Get to know God. Have a relationship with Him. Learn about Him. Grow deeper in your love for Him. As I mentioned this morning, you do that by spending time with Him. You do that by talking to Him. You do that by staying in this book. You do that by praying and seeing Him answer prayers. But come to know God. Again, it's wonderful to be saved, but don't just stop there. Learn what it is to completely obey Him. Just to take away all reservations and say, hey, if God says it, I'm going to do it. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what I think. I'm just going to obey Him. And that's what Isaiah was saying. Hey, is there anybody left who fears God who will just obey Him? Who will just turn back to Him? Solomon said, Reg was telling me this morning, he's been reading the book of Ecclesiastes. And Solomon said in the very last verses of Ecclesiastes, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God, and again, not being afraid of Him, but holding Him in awe and realizing what a great and powerful and wonderful God that He is, and obey Him. That's the whole duty of man. But then notice what it says further down in verse 10. It seems like these two things don't go together. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Here's what Isaiah said. Look, you ought to fear God. You got to hold Him in awe. You got to keep His commandments. And you would think that a person that did that would have light. The light of God. The light of His understanding. I mean, if we're following God, if we're holding Him in awe, if we're obeying Him, we ought to have light. In fact, the Bible says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we can have fellowship with God, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Says in another place, we are not children of darkness, but children of light, and we should walk in that light. But here is Isaiah saying, look, fear God, keep His commandments, but who is it that walks in darkness? Who is it that has no light? And here's one of the things I want to share with you tonight. Sometimes people that hold God in awe, people that fear God, and people that are doing their best to obey, sometimes God takes away our light. Sometimes God puts us in darkness. Now, why? I'll just mention three reasons. There's several reasons. But sometimes it's because, just like these people, we let sin creep into our life. And sin gets into our life, and sin stays there. You see, I don't think God, because of sin, takes away the light in our life just because it sort of snuck up on us and we were in it before we realized it. I think the sin that God is talking about when He takes away our light is sin that we invite to stay. Sin that we won't say, hey, you don't belong here, get out. You have no home here, get out. I think that's what that verse in Romans is talking about. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You've heard me use this phrase before. All of us have our pet sins. All of us have our favorite sins, so to speak. And I'm not going to get any into them tonight. I'm not going to tell you what mine is. I've told you too many times, but what? No. Stay out of my preaching. Yeah. Okay. But you know what I'm talking about. Every single person has some sins that just that have sort of crept in and they've made themselves at home, and we haven't rejected them. We haven't ejected them from our lives. They just sort of take up. And sometimes God says, now, and he convicts us of that sin, and the Holy Spirit tells us about that sin and said, and he speaks to us and said, hey, you know, this is not right. You know, it shouldn't be in your life. You ought to get rid of it. And we let it stay. And God says, okay, I need to get your attention. So I'm going to take away the light for a little while. Other times God takes away our light just so we can be an example to others. I think that's what he did to Job. Remember in the early part of Job, Job said this, I wish I could just talk to God. I wish I could come into his presence. I just want to ask him why all this is happening to me. I just don't understand why I've lost everything. I don't understand why my children had to die. I don't understand, God, why you had to take away all my wealth. I just don't understand. I just wish I could come into your presence. And there have been times in your life and in my life where because God wants us to learn to trust him and because he wants us to be an example to other people, he takes away that light to see what we're going to do. And Job has been a tremendous testimony. One of the earliest books in the Bible that was written has been a tremendous testimony to people that have been going through trials to trust God, to trust God. And sometimes God just does it, not to, for us to be an example to other people. Sometimes he just takes the light away from us to see what we're going to do. Nobody else may know what's gone but us, but he wants to test us to see what we're going to do. And when that happens, when it seems like, as Job says, that heaven is shut up, that you can't come into the presence of God, that you can't get your prayers through, sometimes you read the Bible and nothing comes out to you, and it's like God has sort of shut you off and sort of shut the door, and you pray to heaven and say, where are you, God? There's two responses that we can have that are contained the last part of verse 10, and in verse 11. The first response is in the last part of verse 10, where the Bible says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. You want to know what to do when it seems like your prayers are not getting any further than the ceiling? Trust in the name of the Lord and stay up on him. You want to know when you pray about something you can't get a clear answer? Or something happens in your life and you don't understand why and you go to God and ask him to tell you why and he won't give you an answer? I mean, those are the times when we ought to do exactly what this verse says. Lord, I don't care if you tell me or not. I don't care if I understand or not. I don't care if you never answer another one of my prayers. Look, you're a Christian. You're on your way to heaven. You've been saved. Your sins have been forgiven. God doesn't owe us another thing. And if he doesn't answer another one of my prayers, I'm still going to trust him. And I'm going to stay on him. I'm not going to go find another God. I'm not going to turn away from him. I don't care if my whole world falls apart. I mean, that's what happened to Job. His whole world fell apart. God took everything away from him. And he said this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And we need to get to the point in our Christian life that regardless of what happens, we trust him and stay upon him. And I like the imagery that the Bible uses in this verse. That word, what it says, stay upon him. Stay upon him. That means you get to that place with God. And you don't, thanks. And you don't let nothing move you. The world will try to move you. Say, hey, God isn't taking care of you. Look at the mess that you're in. And they'll try to pull you. And no, I don't want to shake your hand. I want you to pull me, man. They'll try to pull you off this spot. And you know what? If we yield at all, it'll be real easy. Hey, I'm trusting God. Yeah, I may not be able to hear from him. I may not be able to understand what's going on. But it doesn't matter. I'm going to stay right here.
It doesn't matter what the world does. It doesn't matter how it tugs. It'd be real easy to just sort of go along with the flow and let God and let the world pull you away from God. But what we need to do is come back to this spot. This spot, by the way, that we got when we got saved. This spot that we got, by the way, when God did answer our prayer. This spot when we got, by the way, when God did bless us. If He quits blessing us, if He quits answering prayer, I'm going to stay in this spot. I'm not going anywhere else. This is the spot I want to stay in because this is where God is. And I'm going to trust Him. And I'm going to stay upon Him. Okay, thanks. Now, there's another response. There's another response. It's found in verse 11. Here's what it says. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. Here's what happens. We're not getting anything from God. It seems like we've been cut off from God. It seems like our prayers are not being answered. We don't have any light to walk in. We don't know which way to turn. We don't know which way to go. So here's what we do. We rub two little sticks together. We start our own fire. Oh, I can get light from this little... I go back here and start a fire in the stove. But it wouldn't work, would it, Herb? No. But, hey... I'm not getting anything from God. I mean, He's not answering my prayers. He's not giving me direction. He's not showing me which way to do. You have two choices. I'm going to stay right here until I hear from Him. He's going to come back to the place that He left me. And by the way, He probably didn't leave us. We probably left Him. But I'm going to stay right here because this is the last place I heard from Him. I'm not going to go anywhere else. I'm just going to trust Him that eventually He'll come back and eventually He'll show me what to do. He may be testing me. He may be, want me to be an example to somebody else. Maybe I have sin in my life, and maybe while I'm waiting on God to come back to me, I ought to examine myself to see what's in my life that may be keeping Him apart from me. But I'm not moving from this spot. Now, the other alternative is, well, I'm not hearing from God, and I'm not getting any light from God, so I'm going to go over here and start my own fire. I'm going to go over here and build my own fire. And that verse says, yeah, go ahead, walk in the light of your own fire. Walk in the sparks of your own fire. And again, I like the imagery that Isaiah uses in his words. When you're in the light of God, it's like being next to a big bonfire. I mean, it's warm and you can see, but when you get away from God and you go over here and start your own fire, it's like Peanuts or Charlie Brown trying to start a fire. You know, it's one little flame and a few sparks. You can't see very much and you don't stay very warm. And God says, here's what He says in that last part of verse 11. He says, this shall ye have of my hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. You go ahead and over here and you sort of walk in the light of your own fire and you try to walk in the light of your own sparks, I guarantee you, you're going to fall, and you're going to trip, and you're going to lie down in sorrow. Let me give you a couple Bible examples, and then I'll be done. When the nation of Israel went into the promised land, and they went to the first city called Jericho, the captain of the Lord's army came to Joshua and said, I'm going to give you a plan. I'll give you a plan that you can beat the city. First day, I want you to get some trumpets, and I want you to get the army, and I want you to walk around the city one time. Second day, I want you to do the same thing. Third day, I want you to do the same thing. Fourth day, I want you to do the same thing. Fifth day, I want you to do the same thing. Sixth day, I want you to do the same thing. Seventh day, I want you to get those trumpets. And by the way, those first 6 days, everybody's quiet. Trumpets blow, but nobody says a word. Day seven, we're going to march around it. You're going to march around it seven times. Trumpets are going to blow. People are going to shout. And the wall's going to fall down. Now, again, just thinking about it from a human perspective, that's the craziest battle plan I ever heard. Where's the cannons? Where's those big tree-like things that you go up and ram the walls down? No, God said, look, just march around the city one time for 6 days. Seventh day, seventh time, blow the trumpet, people shout, walls will fall down. And Joshua said, that's exactly what we're going to do. No questions asked. March around the city, one day for 6 days, seventh day, seven times. We're going to blow the trumpet. I'm going to tell everybody to shout, and God's going to give us a victory. And that's exactly what happened. Now, you know the story, and I don't have a lot of time, but sin came into the camp. Achan took something that he shouldn't have taken, some gold, some silver, and some Babylonian garments from Jericho. It was supposed to all be God's, and there was sin in the camp. And so God sort of turned off the light. He sort of turned off the light. If you read there in the book of Joshua, he didn't come back and give Joshua a battle plan for the next city, Ai. Instead of staying right here until they found out that there was sin in the camp, Joshua said, I'm going to go over here and light my own fire. Hey, this is a little city. We don't need to send everybody. We'll just send 1,000 men from every tribe, and they can take the city. And you know what happened. They didn't lose a single soldier at Jericho. I think they lost 36 at Ai. And they ran. They got beat. And Joshua said, he went to the Lord and said, Lord, why'd you bring us over here if we're going to get beat? What's the matter? And God said, Joshua, there's sin in the camp. And until you get rid of the sin, I can't show you what to do next. Now again, you know the story. When they found out what it was, and they brought Achan and his family and the things that he stole, and they stoned him, and then they burned him. And God said, okay, now let me give you the plan for Ai. And God gave him the plan for Ai, and they went and defeated the city of Ai. Now again, if God has turned off the light, I don't care. It doesn't matter what the reason is. It doesn't matter if it's sin. It doesn't matter if he's just trying to test you. Just stay upon God. Just trust him. But preacher, I want to do something. I don't feel like I don't think I should just be sitting here. I got to do something. I want to do something. Just stay upon God. Just trust him. He'll tell you what to do next. Don't get ahead of him. One more example, and then I'll quit. Abraham. God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, got a new place I want you to live. It's a land that I promised. It's a land of promise, and it's going to be a wonderful place to live. I just pack up your stuff and let's go. And Abraham said, okay. And sometimes I imagine weird things in my head. I just imagine the day that God told Abraham to do that and him going home to Sarah. She wasn't Sarah yet, but you know who I'm talking about, Sarah. Honey, we're going to move. Where to? I have no idea. What do you mean you have no idea? Where are we going to move? I have no idea. Well, which direction are we going? I don't know. Ladies, can you imagine what you would do if your husband came home tomorrow and said those same words? Honey, we're moving. Oh, where to? I don't know. But would you get the stuff packed up? Mover's going to be here and the truck's going to be here tomorrow and they're going to pack just a minute. Where are we going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't? I mean, Sarah was a godly woman. I know there's a lot of godly ladies here, but I'll tell you what. I think some of you wouldn't be so godly. I think you'd say tell your husband, hey, bud, you better sit down. I'm not moving until you tell me where we're going and why. But Abraham said, God's told me to move. I'm going to trust him. We're going to move. And they did. They did. Now, fast forward a few years, and God comes to Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a child. And through that child, I'm going to bless the whole earth. And Abraham said, good, that's good. And years begin to pass, and more years begin to pass, and more years begin to pass. And we read in the Bible and said, and again, these are not the exact words, but these are the thoughts. Abraham went to God and said, God, you remember that promise you made me that we were going to have a child, Sarah and I was going to have a child, and you were going to use that child to bless the whole earth? Well, you know, we're getting kind of old. And God said, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm going to keep my promise. You trusted me when you picked up and left without me telling where you were going. Just trust me that same way. And more years passed, and more years passed, and more years passed. And Sarah said, well, God's not showing us anything. It's sort of dark. We need to do something, Abraham. Picked up this little slave girl in Egypt. Why don't you go in to her, and God will keep his promise with a little baby born to her. Now, instead of going over there and lighting his own fire, so to speak, Abraham should have just told Sarah, he should have just sat right where he was and said, no, God knows what he's doing. I'm just going to wait. We're just going to wait. Sarah, he'll work it out in his own time. I'm just going to stay. I'm just going to trust the Lord. God brings different things into our life. I'm done. He brings different things into our life. Sometimes he turns off the light. And again, sometimes it's because of sin. Sometimes he wants us to be an example to somebody else. Sometimes he just wants to test us to see what we're going to do. And I know, here's what we do. Well, I got to do something. I can't live like this. I mean, I got to make a decision. I can't wait on God. I just got to do something. Yeah, the thing you need to do is just stay on God. Trust in him. And he'll come. And he'll show you what to do. And when he does, you'll be able to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Your plan is best. Your way is best. Your timing is best. You've proven to me again that I can trust you. Now, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. This will work. It'll work. Just stay on God. Just trust. Oh, preacher, you don't know what's going on in my life. You just don't know what's going on. Well, you're right. I don't. But it doesn't matter. Because I know the kind of God we got. And we can trust him. We can trust him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being that kind of God. Thank you for reminding us that